Today on the Cooligans, we are joined by special guest co-host Christine Cooper of CBS Sports Golazo. We talk USMNT, look forward to the 2026 World Cup, look forward to this Gold Cup game against Saudi Arabia, and we try to figure out why did Juve go to the White House in the most uncomfortable press conference in the world. All this and more today on the Cooligans. We're not going to spend too much time talking about this on the show, but I just have to address it because the Dominican Republic are playing the Gold Cup. Christine, have you seen their two matches?
I've seen a bit of them. I don't know where this is going because it hasn't been good.
Okay, well, it hasn't been bad either, which I think a lot of people expected. But Dominican Republic, for anybody not aware, they played two matches in the Gold Cup. They lost both of them. They went one to Mexico, one to Costa Rica. They scored against Keylor Navas. They scored two against Mexico. Nobody expected this.
So those are the bright spots?
These are the incredibly bright spots, but they lost 3-2 and 2-1. And yes, my hope was that they were going to get out of the group, and which would have been a miracle. But these performances have brought a certain level of pride to me just being Dominican, but also coming from a Caribbean background, and like Alexis is Cuban, I'm Dominican. And the fact that people have doubted the Caribbean involved in this sport, whether it's playing and also in media, right? Because we've gone on media trips and hung around like Colombian, Mexican, and they'll be like, why are you here? How'd you get here?
Who let these guys in here?
Exactly. And what's been seeing these two performances has brought a level of motivation and pride, and just even Dominicans reaching out. I was celebrating goals with my family, and they've never seen soccer in their lives. And like the fact that they're into it this much it just shows how meaningful the sport could be, even to Caribbean countries. A lot of people don't think that because baseball is like really the main thing. Let's go, DR, bro.
Hell yeah. Is there like a Dominican cheer or chant?
De lo mío. Que lo que. Sorry.
I was thinking something more special than that, but sure, I'll take it.
No, I think we're still figuring out what their like culture is. I had a friend that went to the first game at SoFi, and there's no like supporters section really. Dominicans are still figuring out the culture of even supporting the team.
Okay.
Because it's so new to a lot of people. So, you know, maybe we'll come up with something on the show. If you have any suggestions, feel free to...
We'll brainstorm.
All right. Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco. I'm joined by special guest co-host. This is no longer the Cooligans. This is the Coopogans.
Yeah. whoever did that, thank you. It's still hilarious.
Christine Cupo, welcome to the show. Welcome back. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a while. I thought I was blacklisted. I was like, damn, man. Like, I work in a lot of places, but I've been blackballed by my friends at the Cooligans. This one hurts in a different way.
That's something that's super likely, you know? Getting canceled by the Cooligans, you got to do something really bad. Like, you got to put, like, mayo on your pizza or something. Oh. Like, something that egregious, okay? Because if you committed a crime, we'd be like,
I would still be second behind Alexis.
But still, if you committed a crime, I would be like, Cupo's probably innocent. I mean,
I feel like we have to draw that. Like if it was like a petty crime, like I feel like that would be like Alexis would still be like, you can come.
I mean, if it was like murder, right? It would just be like
murder.
It would just still be like, man, that guy really deserved it because Cupo wouldn't do that.
I like how you were like, that man? Yeah, that sounds
accurate. No, of course. We all know. It's a lot to discuss today. We're going to, obviously, Gold Cup is happening, Club World Cup. So USMNT are playing tonight.
Saudi Arabia.
Against Saudi Arabia. So we're just going to kind of look forward a little bit into the rest of this tournament. And we also have to discuss the White House trip by Juve, too, which has brought some of the most iconic photos I think we'll ever see. This again, anybody who's like sports and politics, I don't know. That's not even a real thing to separate those two things.
No.
They are literally a sandwich. They're very, very merged together. So we'll talk about that in a second. But let's start today with the U.S. men's national team player review. We have to figure out, like, what are they going to do for their own club careers, and where they're going to end up? Should they stay or should they go from the clubs that they are at? And that is why it is today's top topic. All right. So let's take a look at some of the major players in Europe and where should they play next season ahead of the World Cup. So Cooper and I gave our suggestions of should they stay or should they go? And if they do go, what club should they go to? First up, we got Anthony Robinson. Should he stay or should he go? Cooper, what do you think?
He should absolutely stay. He is the guy, the man, the everything. Like, that's his club.
Am I wrong? Did he captain Fulham at some point last season? I might be crazy. I could be wrong. But
also, I feel like it's not a crazy argument to be like he should be.
Exactly, right? He is easily one of the best left backs in the Premier League. He's
not their captain, but he's captained them four times.
Look at that, bro.
See, four. Almost five. I sense something more full coming. Okay. I'm channeling it. We're going to manifest this for Jedi, okay?
Kupo has her crystals out on the desk. She's wishing good things on Anthony Robinson. I also said stay because there's a... I don't want to get to the point where... I would say probably we're going to talk about Christian Pulisic in a second, but Pulisic, you can understand like the ambition to be like, I want to play in Champions League and blah, blah, blah. And AC Milan are not going to be playing in Champions League next season. So I understand. But Anthony Robinson feels like, even though he's, how old is he? 27, 28? He's a little bit up there.
Up there. Up Let's there. Talk about him like he's retirement age, but you and know he's got a cane. But yes, I know.
You're 24. What are you, going gray, buddy? But Anthony Robinson is in a point in his career that the leadership that he that experience of leadership that he will gain at Fulham, I think, is kind of priceless.
Yeah, I think that if you're fortunate as a player, right, you become a steady starter, right? You are key to the success of the team, and you eventually don't have cause to move to another squad, right? Like,
right.
Unless you decide there's a bigger challenge ahead, which sometimes becomes an umbrella statement, but I don't see any reason for him to shift otherwise. Like, let this be your place. This can be your home, your club, most recognizable for this thing.
Sure. And then, so next up, the name I just mentioned, Christian Pulisic. Stay or go?
I say stay.
Yeah, I also say stay. This is I was kind of on the fence here. I could have, part of me is also thinking like maybe he should try to push for a move so that he can play in these really, really big, important games. Because this season, you know, I watched a lot of AC Milan, and even after the transfer window in January, when they brought in Santi, I'm thinking like, it was a little bit of like, is this going to work? Like he's really not, maybe he's okay at Feyenoord. He really does nothing almost for the Mexican national team. How much of a difference is he? Is he really that much of an upgrade? And they seemed really excited. They seemed excited about signing him.
They seemed excited about other players that had no business to have any excitement around them.
But they seemed excited about signing him for the sake of like a little bit of like the Mexican fans are going to love, you know, something. We got this guy.
There's
a little bit of a marketing.
One thing a club loves, it's some global marketing angle, like hands down always. I mean.
So they got worse after the January transfer window.
Yeah. You brought in what, Joao Felix, and then like other players that you were just like, why? Like he's been proven to do well for maybe a few months at a club and then just be abysmal. The managerial decisions, the everything, it just. Bad, right? But with all that being said, I think for Christian, the key takeaway is he had a best season.
Yeah.
He had a best season.
He's
he
the
had
best
a
player
standout
on the team.
Season. Right. Standout season. He made his name, his game more well known. I think that it also shows that he can weather adversity because he's played under how many different managers? He was kind of floundering at Chelsea just because everybody was. You could have put anybody there that was good. So departing there and then coming into Serie A, he made a big splash. And so he's definitely the guy for AC Milan. I see no reason for him to leave. I think they can turn it around this season. They have the ambition. They just need to reestablish the direction, the style, as well as like that, just like Milan, like totemic. They need to have their talismans.
Yeah. Yeah. And my hope is that they have the season that Napoli just had, which is not playing in Europe.
Right. And who could have predicted that Napoli would have that season this season? And that's the beauty of football.
Next up, Falarin Balogun. For me, I said stay. He had a shoulder injury that kept him out for the majority of the latter half of the season. And Monaco went after him and he had a decent season before that. I think he can return and I think some stability and just playing for Monaco and getting lots of minutes will be helpful in preparation for the World Cup. But you disagree. You think he should leave?
Yeah, I think he should leave. I think he should find a home where he's a regular starter. Uh-huh. Again, also making sure he stays healthy. But yeah, I could see him going anywhere from like maybe back to the Prem. He didn't really have too much time there. And the time that he did, he didn't really get to prove himself too much with Arsenal.
Okay.
So like maybe a Fulham would suit him or help him out a little bit. Or barring that, maybe Chelsea. Chelsea love to just pick up players that they got
Dilap. I mean,
Dilap is great, by the way. But like, I just think he needs to find a better situation that can provide him more consistent minutes. I feel like that's been like the gaping cavern for U.S. men's national team players. Is like, what are you doing? Where are you playing? Yeah. Are you playing?
I mean, look, he'll get more opportunities to play at Monaco over probably playing somewhere in the Premier League. I mean, but like his type of player that he is. I mean, you mentioned if he goes in the Premier League, like maybe a West Ham, Everton team,
or like, maybe like a Leipzig, because they're heavily leaning on like sort of cultivating talent, and I feel like he's still somehow in that like sort of tumbleweed.
Sure,
phase.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and this is all with the bias of like we want him to be ready for the World Cup.
Yes. But also, like, you as a player want to be starting. You want to be playing regular minutes and expect that they're looking to you for that special something, just a body on a bench.
Right. So, we'll see. I mean, it seems to me he's most likely staying, obviously. Yeah. But we'll see what that means.
Yeah, we unfortunately have no sway whatsoever here.
We've been talking to him. Yeah. Johnny Cardoso, who is right now at Real Betis. He's linked with Atletico Madrid, but it's not official yet. For me, going to Atletico would be the move. It seems like that is very likely. But going to Atletico would be an incredible jump. Did they qualify for Champions League? I think I'm pretty sure they did. Correct me if I'm wrong, Carter. Yeah. If they did. All right. The level that he'll be playing at, so much higher. The stakes are much higher. He'll be playing with better players. I think if he has a good enough season, he can make a real case for being in that starting lineup in that World Cup in 2026.
I feel like he's made some really solid arguments just trying to secure himself a spot on the squad all in already. Like, and I say that because like he's been great for Betis. Like, I think that he can fare well there and he'll continue to get minutes. And I don't know if making the jump at this point would favor him in that respect, right?
Like, okay.
Yes, it could cause you to level up and become more well-rounded because now there's certain asks of you, different systems that you're asked to play in, or you kind of end up being a backup and you don't really
have... Yeah, he puts himself at that risk. Right, the level of the...
I don't know that I would... If I were him, I don't know if I'd want to make myself that uncomfortable ahead of a World Cup.
That's fair. My hope is that he breaks into that starting squad, which is why I'm assuming Atletico even went for him. And I'm sure there's been some conversations of like, okay, I'll go there if I'm going to be starting. But
the ifs are big, you know?
I
can promise you gold bars if you show up.
I just don't want what he did in that the game against Turkey. Just don't do that. Just whatever you learn from Diego Simeone, just what he's going to tell you, hey, don't do what you did wearing that United States shirt.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right.
Don't do the thing.
Because we saw it, and we weren't happy with it. All right. Ricardo Pepi, should he stay or should he go from PSV?
So, I say, like, I could really go either way on this one.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because I think that he's outstanding for PSV. But again, he's more often outside of situations where he's become the starter based on injury or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He comes off the bench and he's impactful coming off the bench, which is exactly what you want. But I fear if he stays in a situation like that for too long, that's what he becomes a specialist in knowing like, oh, I can always get you to turn the key in the game coming off the bench.
Yeah.
It's like you want to be the one that's starting. So like I'm content with him staying. Like I think it's fine. I think he plays enough. He adds enough. He's valued enough there. But if there becomes a bigger opportunity that we know he's going to be central to a project,
yeah,
then go. But I don't. I feel like of this list, he's probably like the least urgent move.
Okay. Yeah. I mean his performances, especially in Champions League, he has performances that are getting interest from that you know cause interest from other clubs, and I believe West Ham is interested, Fulham. So he has opportunities, especially Premier League. And again, it is always that fear of like, yeah, having this men's national team player in the Premier League, cool.
Yeah.
But then it's like, is he even going to be playing? Because at PSV, I think he has a stronger case to make to be the starter there and take over for De Jong.
Yeah.
But it's just the risk leading into the World Cup. I'm like, I don't want another.
Again, if this were coming off of a World Cup tournament year, I'd say, you know what? Like,
go for it.
Freely, you know, take the jump, see what happens. There's time to correct and make sure that your value essentially isn't diminished by having made this decision.
Yeah. All right. Next up. Oh, wait. Did you hear that, Carter? All right. Turn on the speaker. Gio Reyna. Should he stay or should he go? Obviously, Dortmund, they're done with him. I mean, I think it's been pretty clear. He's not in the Club World Cup squad. For me, I think he should go, obviously. And I think he should go to AC Milan. Or at least Serie A. I think it would give him a sense of structure that he's not used to playing in, really, right? Dortmund, and structure in the sense that we know how tactical Serie A is, we know how all the managers are, we know how difficult non-Italian managers, they have like a bit of a difficult time adapting to Serie A. This has been always a common thing. And I think he can learn a lot about what it means to play in a more rigid tactical system where the focus is about winning and not really about being fancy, even though that he can bring that too. So I think it's like it will be good for him as a person more than even just as a player. So that's why I say specifically AC Milan, because like Reinders is leaving, obviously left.
He's gone. Yeah.
Went to Man City.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a place for him. But yeah, he does need to go. He's going somewhere.
Yeah, there's no question that he needs to go. Potential unrealized is nothing. You can't keep saying coasting for all these years, like, we think he's great. He's great. Okay, well, show me where he's great. Show me the work ethic. Show me the positive attitude. Show me the desire and hunger. And I feel like we haven't seen that. And you're definitely not getting it when he's not getting minutes either. I said, quite frankly, like, you know what? Like MLS, go to a mid-table La Liga team. Or I could even say like, yeah, maybe like a mid-table Serie A team. He's just, quite frankly, based on his now body of work, he's not good enough. Like, and you need to make your bones. It doesn't matter that you're Gio Reyna. It matters who shows up on any given day to trainings consistently. And to your argument, like, yes, like Serie A could be a good place for him, but I don't see him slotting into a team that is a big team that now are hampered by big expectations when he hasn't shown any initiative or whatever.
It's a lot of responsibility.
No more, right. Yeah, like there's a lot more responsibility. So you can't imagine that he's going to be stepping into a starting role, but at least show some tenacity that you want to be somewhere doing something.
Right, right, right.
And that's another reason why I'm like, hey, you know what? Maybe a mental reset would be good. And bring him back. Bring him home to MLS. Mm-hmm. Let him play there and make his bones and legitimately show the world that he is the player that everyone had said he is.
He was an NYCFC Academy player. It wouldn't be a bad fit. And it would be dubbed to him. But when we spoke to him, we went to Dortmund and we spoke to him about possibly coming back to NYCFC. And he was like, it's not impossible. Yeah. And you know, he grew up in the New York area. And, he still carries a lot of that New York kind of attitude in his demeanor. But yeah, I still have the, we went to the World Cup qualifier in Mexico, in Azteca, the one that was 0-0. And he dribbled through like the entire team. And it's just like, that's still the Gio I see in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, I just want him to return to that. And I know he's capable, but there's a growing up.
There's maturity. There's an understanding of, I have to work. I have to give it my all. And I just feel like you don't really see that. I feel like it was tarnished a little bit with that whole entire scandal.
Of course, yeah.
Because then it became more of like an entitlement. And it's like, no, like this is kind of one of the root problems of youth soccer in the States to begin with.
Sure.
Show the people that you are talented, you want to work, that you'll put in the extra work wherever you have to, but also that like you're a good team player. Cause like nobody wants to take on somebody that's talented, but like seems like they're a liability because of their attitude or otherwise.
Right. All right. Last up, Yunus Musa. He is currently an AC Milan player, but he's linked to Napoli. Should he stay or should he go?
So if not Napoli, he should stay where he's. Stay put at AC Milan.
Okay.
Granted, yes, like not a regular starter, does get minutes. I think that he still has a little bit to cultivate. And so why I say Napoli is because he has a lot of qualities, I feel like, of an unpolished Arturo Vidal.
Okay.
And one of the people who's responsible for making Arturo Vidal into prime Arturo Vidal was Conte. And so to get him under his tutelage, I feel like would be really like a boon for him.
So Yunus Musa needs a
probably
really intense.
Like the thing is like he's a talented player. He has physicality to him. He just needs to be polished a little bit smarter in some actions where he gets caught out. But I think that there's something there. And I think that for Napoli to even be sniffing around them, that's a lot of Conte.
Sure. Yeah, it's if they believe that he can be.
He's very good. Like Conte's a magician at getting like mediocre players to good and good to great.
Okay.
And so he's done it time and time again. But like if he identifies you and you're a Conte player, like prototypical, like, oh, I see where you can be corrected, fixed, more well-rounded. This would bode really, really well for him.
Sure. Yeah. I think there's a watching him at AC Milan. I think he should go. And if Napoli's an option, please go there.
Maybe if they're going to be playing European football too.
Yeah.
So.
I think there's the last few months at AC Milan. I mean, and this would go for several players, but there with Yunus Musa being left out of the squad a lot, not really just to end them when he's there. I saw him play like a right back once or a right wing back. I'm like, this is
I mean, everybody's been
gross.
Put everywhere.
This is
right,
weird. Like he's
when
just,
they brought in like Conceição and everything was just sort of like, hey, what are we doing? There again, like there was no style. There were no tactics. There weren't players that fit what he wanted to be doing. A lot of players suffered that way. And that's why I say when you look at Christian, that's a giant golden check mark in his column because he's weathered.
Yeah,
managerial
changes
over
yeah.
different clubs, even just at AC Milan. And he's been the least impacted. And I feel like when you are weatherproofed like that, that just goes to show your mettle as a player.
Sure. Yeah, it's just the last few months for Yunus Musa have just been so disappointing.
Yeah.
He is a central midfielder. He is an eight. And that's it. He's not for the US, he played at the wing once.
Yeah,
it's not what he does. Yeah. He can't really go 1v1.
I think he has a little bit more versatility. But again, these are the things that need to be addressed. And I feel like if he's not in the right place and he's not valued to the point where the time is worth investing in him. And that's to say, like, AC Milan would have to do the same. You can't just be like, hey, this is good enough, because it's not. You know, yeah. Sometimes he'd go missing and you'd be like, what happened? What happened to Musa?
So, yeah. So we shall see where these guys end up and what, you know, looking to forward to the World Cup. These are going to be all these moves are going to be, you know, analyzed a lot and more. And this summer and the transfers and stuff like that. Some players are going to stay where they are. Some are going to leave. But we are all looking forward to obviously the move that is going to make them just look good in the World Cup, because we don't want to be humiliated there.
I'm begging you.
As the host. Everything around the World Cup is pretty humiliating.
Already, yeah.
As the host. So we just, if they could play well, that would be quite the gift. All right. Let's take a quick break and we're going to talk to some Gold Cup. And again, Juve at the White House right after this. U.S. Men's National Team Gold Cup overreactions. All right. Obviously, they play U.S. U.S. plays Saudi Arabia, which is going to be an interesting game because Saudi Arabia were pretty good at the World Cup in 2022. Mm-hmm. They beat Argentina. So you might be watching or listening to this after the game. But let's just give some overreactions if they win or if they lose. So if the U.S. Men's National Team win... Kupo, what would be your overreaction?
My overreaction is they're winning the World Cup, baby.
There it is. Kupo made that noise. The most patriotic psychopath. Okay, so that's quite the overreaction. My overreaction would just be that I'm going to just believe in Pochettino. I'm going to walk with him. I'll take him. I'll go wherever he tells me to go. Because this
is it that much of an overreaction, though?
It's a fair overreaction. I hope you hear the thunder.
Damn, the thunder! See, you question the gods, and they're like,
uh-huh. Not even. You didn't even have to hit the soundboard, Chrissy. It will, at the very least, I'm closer to not believing in him than I am to believing in him.
Okay.
So a win here, especially not a draw, like a win. I'd be like, all right, maybe there's something he's finding something here, because all the drama around the players not coming in, like Pulisic and the whole they have their whole back and forth.
What you mean, a simple big name coach wouldn't fix all of the systemic problems? That's so weird.
But some of them are systemic. Some of them are, you know, it just seems like the relationship I want him to have with the players is not really there. I feel like Greg Berhalter had a better relationship with the players. Doesn't necessarily mean that the team was better. Right. I just think the relationship was a little bit better there. And but the players seem like, hey, it's time. He wants us to work. We're going to do the work. And so it's a bit more buttoned up. And you know, Berhalter was like the cool gym teacher.
Right.
And that worked for as long as it did. And then it didn't work. So, but yeah, if they win against Saudi Arabia, which is, I think, one of the stronger opponents that they will have been facing, the two friendlies beforehand were also very, very disappointing.
Yep.
So if they win, I'm going to put my faith in Mauricio Pochettino. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Next up, if the USMNT lose, I'll go first.
Go ahead.
If they lose, it's basically like this roster's not good enough. This roster's not good enough. And to the degree that, like, again, I was already really disappointed with those two friendlies, but I can understand the, like, oh, he's trying to change things, see the rosters a little bit. But if the U17 lose, then it's like, okay, what? The issues with the Club World Cup, where they obviously don't have
McKennie, when you have like literally nesting competitions,
exactly.
Which is just also confounding, but yeah.
But not having, and then also not having Pulisic, like it's bad. We're like in a really, really bad spot. So that would, my overreaction is this team is just, this roster that is right here, not even close to good enough to even making a dent in the World Cup. What about you?
My overreaction is burn this whole thing to the ground and start over the whole program.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So you have your gasoline and you
have my matches.
You have your matches and you're ready to go. Yeah, yeah. You're that meme with the little girls smiling at the burning building. So can we make that image?
No.
Can we make that image and put it in post? Somebody at Yahoo, make that image. Okay. So, I see it. Your overreaction is on brand for Kupo. Both of your overreactions.
I mean, you asked me to overreact. I am dramatic. I am a Leo.
They feel like reactions, though, not overreactions.
I mean, you're still kind of tepid to me. I'm just saying. Okay.
Okay. No, just
okay, Mr. Rogers.
I'm just saying, if either of us were in relationships and got broken up with, I think we could understand what the reactions might be. You see how we process things, good things or bad things happening, and it says a lot about us as individuals. All right. All right. Let's move on, because we have to talk about this, because now that we have is it Juventina? Is that a thing that people say? Yeah. Okay,
Juventina, Juventino, okay. Juventini.
Juventini, that'd be plural.
Se vuoi plurale.
Oh, yeah. Okay, or they, them. Juven, they, them. Whatever, we're happy to do it. We're happy to call whatever
you
want.
Plural, and there are men and women, she, they, them.
Okay, I want to be inclusive.
You're going with it's the masculine plural. And now you've had your Italian.
This is perfectly relevant to the conversation we're about to have, because Juventus went to the White House yesterday, and they obviously the Gianni Infantino. Juventus played at Audi Field the other day. Al Ain, I think they played. They won 5-0. Which is not too much of a surprise. But even for Club World Cup, some of the results have been a little bit surprising to some people. But so good on them. But so they go to the White House. We start seeing photos of them in the Oval Office. And really the main photos we see are, we see Tim Weah, Weston McKennie. You mentioned Locatelli.
Locatelli, Gatti. Vlahovic.
Yes, Vlahovic.
And Koopmeiners.
And there's a couple of people from the Juventus staff as well.
Yeah, including Giorgio Chiellini.
Yes, Giorgio Chiellini is there. And so they're behind Donald Trump in the Oval Office, and Trump is taking questions from the press. The Club World Cup trophy is there. Infantino is there. It is, even as I'm describing this, this is weird. This is like,
this is the dream you have after you eat food too late and then just pass out.
So the photos themselves, the videos already, like, it's uncomfortable because the press is asking about, there's a lot of serious stuff going on right now. And the press is asking about Iran. They're asking about Israel. They're asking about the ICE. They're asking about very serious subjects.
Right. Not the content you'd expect of, hey, bring your Italian soccer team to the White House for a day trip to do some more stateside marketing / promote it's the just... Club World Cup.
So I want to start here because most people are not new to this show, but if you're new to the show, you know, this is where we stand. It's just gross. And I especially feel for footballers put in this situation. And a lot of people, I had posted the image and commenting on a lot of people really just saying, like, I'm mad at McKennie and Weah for even being there, which I completely valid. I understand the critique, because especially with Tim Weah, who I know him and we've done a live event together. There is a, as I was watching, and this is before I heard his comments afterwards.
I knew from the second I saw the pictures that none of them knew they were going there.
And they didn't want to be there.
And also the context for what they were going there for.
Exactly.
I've been there with the team and have done events with them. Mm-hmm. And they are usually very buttoned up in terms of their press and communications and things like that. I'm sure that they probably went here under the guise of, let's go promote Club World Cup. Mm-hmm. And with that limited information, said, these are the players that are coming with us. And again, it's not atypical for them to be like, you, we're going to go blah, blah, blah. And they take whatever players. Like, in that organized in that sense. They are very Italian in planning.
Sure.
Where things aren't nearly as structured, but to put them in a position like this was kind of, yeah, like to understate things, like it's very icky. Wildly uncomfortable. Again, a lot of these players aren't particularly vocal or comfortable speaking about politics in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. Nor should they be put in the middle of a spotlight where we're in the middle of essentially, I guess, declaring war or that we're supporting somebody else.
It's just insane.
The whole thing is home sweet dystopia. But then on top of that, the one thing that I have to say about this whole debacle, which I think is an appropriate way of labeling this, is in the midst of the president making transphobic comments and encouraging the players, saying, well, you got a good team. You don't have women on your team. Women wouldn't play on your team, would they?
Right.
I like that. One, there was an awkward silence pause because they were like, what are you even talking about? Because quite frankly, dear listeners / watchers, there aren't any women in men's sports, trans or otherwise, and there aren't men in women's sports.
Exactly.
So this is something that's completely fiction that's been made up in their heads. And hey, you know what? GGG, baby. Like, if you have fantasies, you have them, but this isn't anything that's real. And as an aside, Damian Comoli, who's part of that Juventus staff, said, oh, we actually have an excellent women's team, Juventus women.
Yeah.
And I love that he used the opportunity stateside to market for the women's game, because they've only been pro officially in Italy, recognized by FIGC, within the last few years.
Gotcha.
So it was nice that he was nimble enough to take a situation and literally turn lemons to lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. I like that little tip of the cap.
Sure.
Outside of that,
it's hard to find any positive. I mean, and that, like, Trump asking like the basically like a trans question of like there wouldn't be any women on your team. It's just so stupid and gross and like such clearly a distract. It's like not important. He doesn't care, but it's about riling up the people that would care about that. And it's just, and you could just see the reactions.
But isn't that what everything's been about at this point?
Basically.
I'm tired of everything being so divisive when we should be protecting each other.
Right. Which is, it's easier to protect each other. But people choose to create some fictional enemy, and trans people are like the target for whatever reason. And it just seems to, that scope seems to change every couple years of who are we going to be attacking so that we can rile up support and in the other causes, which is whatever warmongering or whatever corporate whatever blah blah blah.
Like in this month of June, Pride, and on this day, Juneteenth.
It's
the fact that we have to have these lengthy conversations about looking out for each other and protecting each other, especially now, is disheartening. But you know what? Like, we will continue to fight the good fight.
Sure. And this is my main frustration, because a lot of people commenting are mad at the individual players. And Timothy Weah, this was his quote. He was asked later in the day in a press conference. He said, I hear his response about going to the White House. He said, quote, "It was all a surprise to me, honestly. They just told us that we have to go, and I had no choice but to go. So I showed up. I guess it was a cool experience, obviously, being in the White House as a first time. It's always wonderful, but I'm not one for politics. So it wasn't that exciting. I was caught by surprise when he started talking about all the politics with Iran and everything. And it was kind of like, I just want to play football, man." And this is a end quote. And this is where something, he obviously didn't want to be there. But
that aside, there has to be another level of care here, because you do have to also address the fact that his father is the president of Liberia.
Exactly.
So if you want a major world event in terms of politics and things that just like shouldn't happen, this probably would be pretty high on that list.
I think,
again, they put all of those players in a bad position, including the staff, to react and feed into a rhetoric that has been damaging for quite some time that just shouldn't have been. If, in fact, they were inviting them there just to talk sports. And yes, I see you on the internet, all of you screaming at clouds about how like sports and politics separate. Okay, well, how do you separate sports and politics when you're asking point blank footballers about foreign policy, about war, about trans rights, essentially? I think that's a pretty difficult position to be in. And yes, like players, unfortunately, do have obligations to do a certain number of events when they're on the road like this.
Yeah.
And I do truly believe that they weren't fully told and were like, hey, you're going.
So this, but this, and this goes on to like a bigger issue, which is like, we all know the Club Cup is, you know, ticket sales and they're trying to promote it. And I understand that. But Infantino Infantino and FIFA have basically just said, bend the knee, whatever Trump kind of need.
Because like now you're tangoing with the person holding your purse strings.
Yeah.
Right.
And they don't.
So if Club World Cup is a gross failure, that's one thing. If you can't manage to make that money on the back end via the World Cup because of the tumultuous conditions, and yeah, God knows where we'll be by then, I am terrified to find out, then you need to at least have that person hand in hand with you.
So, and oh, and my argument is, like, I can wrap my head around, I understand that Infantino might have to do that. Don't put these players in that position. Like, they don't want to do that.
That demonstrates, though, that there are no lines that will not be crossed in the interest of protecting revenues. And I think that that's the scarier part.
Yeah. And that is a general, we deal with that on almost every facet of society. And it's a big reason why a lot of things that are happening in the world right now are happening, because it's a protection of revenues, a protection of capitalism, it's a protection of resources, and it causes people to do some pretty awful things. But it's so much more personal, because we know these guys and you see their faces and you see, and they're good people. And they're kids. Also, they're like 24, 25 years old, being in this weird ass situation with a president that it's clear they don't like them. And they can't really be super loud about it. They're just trying to work and trying to do
their
thing.
They're just trying to get through their day. Yeah, because this is literally just a part of their day.
So, yeah. So, I respected Tim Weah for, like, it's a fairly PC answer in him being like, I wasn't excited and I just want to play football, man.
But again, understanding the position that he's in, I completely and totally understand and support the statement that he released.
Yeah, yeah. I agree as well. So, just complete lunacy, and it's such a wild kind of just series of events, and it just shows how like crazy our world is. It even, again, separating sports and politics is not even a realistic thing, because it's, at the end of the day, it's really just about business and capitalism and money, and you can't separate doing these things. I mean, I saw like the video of like him shaking hands with like Weah with Trump, and like you could just see like, man, I don't want to be here. And I don't know what this, I don't know if there's any backlash from this, from just specifically the players. Like, are the players going to be like, yo, I'm done with this club, or like, I'm getting out of this league, or like, there's going to be something of like, somebody's going to write a book about like this. I can't believe this happened. I did not want to be there.
Yeah, so, for sure.
It just surreal. All right, let's take another quick break. And we're going to, the U.S. Women's National Team dropped their team rosters for this summer friendlies that they have coming up. So we're going to talk about that with Kupo in just a second. The U.S. Women's National Team roster is out for the June and July camp. All right. There's going to be 3 matches, 2 against Ireland and 1 against who, Carter? I forgot the...
Canada.
Let's go. And a lot of new names, a lot of names we haven't seen in a while. But this is the place I want to start. No Lola Bonta.
Yeah.
Is this... I saw on her IG story, because there's 3 Kansas City current players that are on it. She was just like hyping them up.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't want to live in a world where we only get 1 call up for Lola Bonta. Did that surprise you at all? It just seemed like Emma Hayes is just, again, giving more players the opportunity to play for the
first time. Yeah, like not really a surprise. I feel like the majority of the players that she called in, again, all NWSLers, less Naomi Girma.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of new faces, six uncapped. So four fresh baby faces too. I think that she considered like which vets, air quotes, even though, you know, Lowe very much is a vet of the game, but like, again, kind of a baby to the US.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't think that it was like a negative that Lowe didn't get called back up. I think like she had a decent run. I think that like she did take a little bit of a knock coming off of the last US camp a couple weeks ago. And so let her get reintegrated with her squad. She's super important to the current.
Yeah.
Like, I've talked to Vlatko about her before too, where he's like, yeah, like if Lowe's missing, like her presence is felt, even if she's not on field, like we need her to be there because she's that important to that team. So Lowe missing, I don't really take it much as anything. I think that Emma has made it very clear that she's still looking and pursuing this in terms of for the now and for the future. And I think that all of us, for the most part, had interpreted like for the future as in like, you know, Women's World Cup, Olympics. But she's made it clear that like she's looking beyond that. Like this is for like true longevity. And we've seen her make a few moves even with the U23s where you've had players that are coming back from injury play down where like Mia Fischel and Corbin Albert in the last cycle and things like that. But then you're also getting very young players coming into this camp that we haven't had eyes on that have been showing out in NWSL. Like right now, 18-year-old Jordan Bug. She's called in three of the four youth that we're getting for these first timers are defenders. Outside of bringing in, Sam Meza in the midfield.
Right.
So I think that we're just getting the inverse of the pain cave that we saw going into the Olympics, which kind of created
cave,
this.
Bringing right, it back.
Hey, sometimes you got to tuck into the pain cave and create some instant chemistry and trauma bond. But I think that what she was able to do there was remarkable. But I think that Emma Hayes, she's brilliant. And with that, she's acknowledged that there also needs to be a time of rest.
Right.
And
right.
So with that, you got the bulk of the European players resting right now. With the reinvigoration of some of the injured, like I think that Girma being there is very pointed because she's been co-captain, potential future captain of this team. And also she's just making her way back in. So I think it's a trial, especially for the new defenders that are coming in to see like how composed are they? How well do they integrate with Girma? How does this work if we, you know, switch a couple things around? We saw Giselle Thompson getting called back into this camp. The last camp she was called in as a forward, unfortunately had to leave camp early because she took a knock. We see her back now. So I think with the vacancy of Emily Fox, and that left back role that she's still looking for some more depth in terms of, you know, who's the number one, who's actually able to, who's a little bit more rounded, right? And I think so when you start looking at maybe even like left center backs or other center backs like Lily Real, who's been a standout for Gotham, you start to think, hey, how can we tinker around with this?
Okay. Yeah. The Girma, the only question I have is, we didn't plan on talking about this, but her time at Chelsea, I mean, she hasn't been there very long and she was coming off an injury.
Right. She got there. She was fine. She got injured. She came up back the tail end of the season.
And then I was watching the Women's Champions League and Chelsea lost to Barcelona. Who was it they lost to? Was it Barcelona in the Women's Champions League? I don't remember. But she did not look great. It was one of the few games that Girma did not look good. And it's a little bit of a concern because like at San Diego, she was just like a stalwart. And obviously for the women's national team, she's almost never in any compromised situation. And then at Chelsea, it just seemed like, okay, why is she working so hard? She's like never really had to do that.
And that's it. Like trying to, it's a challenge, one, to come back and be fit to play. It's another thing to come back and be fit to play in the tail end of a season when you've had that injury for quite some time. Like she was out for a spell.
Yeah, yeah.
So for her to come back at that point, I think is even more challenging than any other regular time because now they're duly counting on you.
Okay. Obviously Arsenal ended up winning the Champions League. So shout out to you, another gooner here. Okay. I want to also talk about when it comes to the roster. Roosevelt is back on the national team, and I think we all love that. Obviously, they're going to be playing in Cincinnati, so I'm sure she's going to be excited to get back on the team. She's been a player that's been dealing with a lot of injury, and obviously she hasn't really been available for Gotham. She just came back.
Yep.
She had ankle surgery not too long ago. But this is a question I had because of her lack of availability. Should Emma Hayes and the U.S. Women's National Team start looking past Rose Lavelle and not really thinking of her as a starter for the national team?
I think, one, that's a really hard argument because Roosevelt is world class,
sure,
right? She's a world best player. So it's kind of like turning around and being like, oh, well, we can just find, like, I don't know, another Serena Williams somewhere. Sure. Mm-hmm. Right. I think that she has been cultivating that spot, and Rose can play the 8, can play the 10, can, you know, like, she serves a lot of different purposes with this team, not to mention 110 caps, like being a veteran now on this side. And I think that as we start to temper and cultivate who's the best starting 11, it's like, it's managed and balanced in that way. But Rose Lavelle is like great in distribution. She's a creative force in
the
midfield.
She's fantastic. Yeah.
Like,
yeah. it's, I mean,
one of the few, like, really good dribblers that we have.
It feels uncomfortable even asking the question.
Yeah.
Christine.
I'm like, damn, I'm insulted. But really and truly, like, it's been so long now, it feels like, right? 100 years. It's mm-hmm. been 7 months that she's been out. Ankles are hard to deal with, especially coming back from any surgery. I think that this will be like a really calculated return to see how she plays with some of the younger players and like where people fit, you know, like, yeah, where does this conversation go? Like, yes, we can absolutely play Rose in a pivot with Coffee and like be totally fine. But like, we also have other players that have been in that occupying that midfield space. You have Croy Bethune coming back, who also has a lot of striking similarities to Rose.
Sure.
But again, another player coming back from injury, also a little bit greener, much younger. I think that them being in this space together is really good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is an opportunity, given all the different names, just to build that chemistry. Because the other, when it comes to chemistry, I think, and players leveling up, the one they must pop up on your feed, but the Thompson sisters, yeah, Giselle
and Alyssa,
they're doing all the dances, all the trends. And then Giselle's like captions.
And there's a third one. They have another sister who is a baller. Like, are you joking? How many more Thompsons do we have?
So I know Alyssa's not on the, she didn't get called up, right? Am I wrong? Giselle did. I'm like Alyssa.
Giselle did.
I could bring Alyssa. No, she's not. Alyssa is on there. Sorry.
Yeah.
So both Thompson sisters are.
And I think that.
Oh, no, wait. Giselle's not. Giselle's, I believe, injured. Okay. Oh, no, they're both Giselle, there. What am I doing?
I'm like, no, I can tell you that Giselle's definitely on there. She's listed as a defender.
So again, the TikToks are going to be crazy.
Yeah.
The dancing.
I think it's
who are they going to get involved? I just saw they had somebody from the training staff on Angel City
that they had them do one of
the other dances.
I did see that.
It's so like, all I'm just saying is like, just a couple months ago, they were like, babies nervous to express themselves on the field. And then Giselle gets her first goal, I believe, for Angel City, assisted by her sister.
Yeah.
And now they're doing the TikToks. It's like we're in a world where, like, footballers were like, oh no, I don't social media, I don't do that. I'm just here to play. And it's like, nah, I'm going to be like Lamine Yamal. We're gonna fight for the Ballon d'Or, and I'm gonna do a little TikTok with my dad, you know. So that, I just love to see this like expression and growth and fearlessness, because they could, if you have a bad game, those TikToks look bad, but they don't.
That's always the argument, right? But I also feel like that's like a very elderly lens. It's like, listen, people blow off steam in different ways.
Exactly.
It's not always like, it's because you're making the damn TikToks. Like, what?
Like, no, I say more TikToks. They're very entertaining.
More TikToks, but more goals. More goals.
We love to see it too. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We always appreciate it. Christine Kupo, let everybody know where they can follow you and catch your work.
Dang, you don't know where to follow me yet? No. I'm occasionally on X with people screaming at me over my opinions. C Kupo. I'm still on the Instagrams at Miss Kupo, M-I-S-S-C-U-P-O. And you can catch me on CBS Sports Golazzo Network. If you tune in for Morning Footy tomorrow morning, I'll have my Footy Kit Friday ready. And of course, Attacking Third.
Love it.
All always right. Amplifying my ladies.
Sure. Yes. I was tuning in to Darian and Sandra the other day when they were talking about the roster as well. So go. You check out Attacking Third as well. All right. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on everything. Follow us on Blue Sky if you have not yet. There's less screaming than X, but there's still some.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on there too. People are more pleasant there, or at least they're not throwing rocks.
Exactly. It's lovely. And subscribe on YouTube if you have not yet. Hit the like button if you made it to the end of this video too. All right. We'll see you on Monday. Alexis will be back. He is in LA for PSG's game against somebody. They play somebody in the Club World Cup, but he hosted a comedy show for
I saw that
at PSG house. They had like a pop-up type thing.
I hope that everybody in there laughed like oh, oh, oh.
So we'll hear all about it and how they received Alexis's very lewd jokes. You know how he is. So, very different than on Yahoo Sports, Alexis.
You should go see his stand-up though. You should definitely go see his stand-up.
So we'll hear about that on Monday. All right. We'll see you then, everybody. Peace.